This is the start of the October 14th, 1986 interview with Lois Kane of East Point, Florida, concerning the making of oyster knives. The interviewer is David Taylor of the Bureau of Florida Folklife Programs, and this interview is conducted in connection with the Maritime Heritage Survey Project. Also present from the Bureau is Barbara Beecham. First, I wanted to start by asking you about your background. Can you tell me when you were born?
October the 15th, 1909.
And where was that?
Well, it was possibly part of Lanhaven now. But at the time I was born, Lanhaven was just a little place right there in one area, you know, just maybe a store, two stores, and half a dozen buildings around it, and possibly a post office at the time. I'm not even sure about that. Yeah, I believe there was a post office there, folks. And they said when I was old enough to be carried across the bay, they moved our house across the bay to a part of Southport known as the jungle. For a good many years, possibly still is called the jungle side of Southport. And when I was 8 years old, we left there and come to Apalachicola. And back in them days, you couldn't stay in Apalachicola in the summertime on account of the malaria and the mosquitoes. At that time, the water was terrible to drink and everything, and anybody that lived in Apalachicola during the wintertime, if they had any chance at all to get away from there, taken off and went somewhere else till the next oyster season, which started in October. And that was practically the way I was raised. My father fished in the summertime on St. Andrew's Bay and the oyster during the wintertime on the along in 1924 it came a hurricane something similar to the one we had last year. Just might say destroyed everything in the bay here. And we moved from here over into Walker County. And our oyster there and fished, got interested in fishing parties, curing fishing parties and hunting parties. And my people all left there except me and my older sister who married one of the people that live there. And I stayed there for about 15 years. Then I came back to Apalachicola and went to work with the Curvin brothers. And the war got so tight there and they got taken everybody. We all went to the army, you know how that was. I could have possibly easily stayed out of the army on account of my skill as a fisherman, but there were just too many of them leaving that was my friend, my brother, my cousin. You know what I mean? I just...
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
Oh, let's see. Three brothers, four brothers, and three sisters.
And how did you fit in to the order of children?
Oldest. Oldest to live in. Now, there's one or two that didn't live, but I didn't count in that area. My oldest brother, he died when he was 2 years old. And I don't know for sure whether I can remember him or not. It seemed like I can, but, you know, I heard so much talk when I was little about him. So,
what was your dad's name?
Sam Kane, Samuel Lewis Kane.
Are there many Kane families in this area today?
Well, yesterday they scattered from, I reckon there was from here to Texas, some areas in Georgia.
Yeah.
Now, my father's folks came from Georgia to a little place over here called Clarksville, up above Fenimore City.
Mm-hmm.
And they still, some of my cousins, and I don't believe there's any of the older set living in my uncle's ranch, but I have cousins there, from first cousins on down. So, they live in Clarksville, Blountstown, Weevil, just might say a word, even possibly some of them in Marana and in that area. But there's some of the canes scattered from here to Texas. Mm-hmm. I had a half uncle that was at Phillips Inlet in, on the other side of Fenimore City. And another one at Bayou La Batre in Alabama. Mm-hmm. And the one in Texas, I didn't know too much about him. Now, the others, I've seen them, but the one in Texas, I never seen.
You were
most
saying,
of,
yeah.
Most of them are my father's half brothers.
I see. Yeah. You were, a few minutes ago, you were telling me about going into the Army. What kind of work did you do after you got out?
Well, I started back oyster then here, and I've been here ever since. I fished with the Curvin just a little bit after this. So, I got back with them in a real rough season, and my wife and I were buying a home, and we got behind on it and everything, and I just had to quit and go into something other that I could save my credit with. And I went back to Orston and left fishing, and I never been back. It wasn't nothing they did wrong or anything, you know what I mean? It was just a bad season, like it is with the shrimpers now. I know you've heard that.
Yeah.
And the oystermen, as far as that. And that's possibly the reason I've only sold three knives in the last 4 or 5 days instead of two or three a day,
yeah,
maybe four.
Yeah.
So, it just, since that hurricane, it just hasn't been anything to any of it around here to make a living at, not a good living. And my wife and I both, we draw some Social Security, and I draw a little veteran's check, but it's just not enough to pay that water bill and light bill, utility bill, and still have something to eat and drink.
Yeah. Did you have some children, you and your wife?
I had, yeah. Me and her actually don't have any, but me and my first wife did have one.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in Jacksonville at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And she had one. Mm-hmm. We live here with her, and my son lives in Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's where I live, too. I live in Jacksonville.
You do live in Jacksonville.
Yeah. And Barbara lives in White Springs, over near Lake City. Yeah.
Do you know where Louisa Street's at in Jacksonville?
Louisa Street, I know, I think. Louisa Street?
Yes.
I guess I don't. I'll have to look at my map now.
Do you know where Phoenix Avenue's at?
Yeah.
Well, you turn off 20th Street and go under the causeway on Phoenix Avenue, and then turn right at the first red lights, and it's about 10 blocks down there till you'll come to a dead end. It's right close to the river or waterfront down there somewhere.
Yeah.
And then just one block over to the right, a little street called Louis Street, and it isn't very long. I think 6 or 8 blocks possibly covered.
Mm-hmm.
My son runs a outboard motor repair shop on
that
street.
Yeah, I know about where that would be. Yeah, I'll have to go by and say hello.
I figured if I give you that, then you can easily find it.
Yeah.
He can go anywhere in Jacksonville he wants to. Don't know the next word. He's worked for the city, worked for the police department. He's worked as a security guard there.
Mm-hmm.
He worked as a utility man, refrigeration and refrigerators and washing machine and stuff like that. eventually wound up just putting all of it with the outboard motor business. Possibly in the wintertime he made tinker with washing machines on his Maximus. He'll go where somewhere and buy one and bring it home and put it to work and sell it. It's never no horror work or anything. He does it on his own.
Yeah, but he wasn't interested in staying here and going fishing?
Well, he fished around here some right after he finished school, but not much. I don't know, he just, somehow or another, he wanted to take off somewhere else. He went to Tallahassee a while, and he met his first wife in Tallahassee, and she had some people in Jacksonville, and that he went to Jacksonville, and he worked in the shipyard down there a while. Then he got into the utility and refrigeration business and worked for the man there that trained him. Then he got in with another company there that had a man who was even better than that man was. And he got into that and he was considered extremely good on refrigeration or utility. He already practically knew outboard motors from being raised up in amongst them here, and he was always interested in boats and motors. If you drive up Louise Street, when you get to where you'll find a half a dozen or a dozen boats parked in a big yard, and see a sign out there saying outboard motor repair, that'll be where you'll go out hunting. You know that? Ask no questions, just look.
Now, a moment ago, before we turned on the machine, you started to tell me about how you got involved making knives. Could you tell me about that again?
Yes, sir. The way I got involved in that was on account of the scarcity of them after the Army. The people that built those knives, so I understood, were building parts and things for the Army instead of building the knives at the time. And they hadn't got back at it. I saw some of them shucking oysters with cage knives. Take a cage knife, point it up, use that, no such stuff as that. And I built my mother and my sister a knife out of a piece of cross-cut saw blade. And the first one and another got after me about building them. And I deviled this old man over at the machine shop in Apalachicola until I got ashamed of it, and I went and bought them grinders and started building them on my own. But I never did go into it, in no big way till later on in years. So I worked at it when bad weather, you couldn't get out in the bay, or maybe on the weekend I'd build up a few. Somebody would always want them, as a usual rule. But after I had to quit going in the bay on account of my back, I got to building them pretty good then, and it was for a year or two around here, several years for that. It made pretty good money at it. But I've had to let some of my customers go because I just can't sit at it as long as I used to. Right.
Now, back when you were learning how to make knives like this, did everyone get their knives from the store, from factory-made knives, or were there other people
that
who made them too?
I didn't know of any. Unless around Southport, which I didn't know, was one of the Kaiser family, that was who I was telling you about at Southport, that gave me one of the knives he built at a cross-cut saw blade. Now, there might have been some of them working with around there, but the oyster business has never been as large a scale as the Apalachicola business is. As Southport or any area in St. Andrews Bay, you might say. So it was always smaller. So I understand in the last year or two that there's more oystering going on there now than it used to be. They've planted some oysters there, and there's people that bought leased bottom, got leased bottom from the state, and bought horses here and hauled them over and planted them and set stuff like that. Now, whether that increased the horse production over there or they just come back from within their own, I just couldn't tell you, saved my life.
Yeah. What kind of materials do you need to make the knives that you make today?
I use PVC pipe mostly. I use some wood now, but not much.
Mm-hmm.
The young fellow was in here just now, he bought a wood now. Oh, they're actually, they're not legal to use in the row house. And bandsaw. Gotta get some on.
Do you have to get that? You can shut this off if you do.
Yeah.
No, so she'll get it.
Okay. Find the wire down there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh. There's a sawmill in Thomasville, Georgia. And the man that say what they call a saw file or a mill right there, I believe is what they call him. He saved those discarded blades for me. As a usual rule, I can get a half a truckload of it, which I don't need anymore since he got saved it. So,
how thick are those blades?
I just have to show you. I believe
okay.
Say about
it. Yeah.
An eighth to an
inch. Okay, let me just disconnect you.
That's
so you,
all right.
You got it right over there? Okay.
I've got one right there.
All right.
Get an eye.
Here we go. Visual aid. Yeah.
Well, that's a knife. No telling how many oysters been shuffled with it. I repaired it for a lady here the other day.
Oh, yeah.
The oysters they shuck now is a mean to shuck, so. They'll eventually work that blade loose in there. There's nothing you can do about it building it. Two pieces like I have to build it.
Now, how did you repair this?
I put a new plug in there and then put the knife back in there and resealed it off with that polypropylene pillow.
Okay.
Well,
see, this stuff that I have in here is practically as hard as the pipe itself.
Well, now...
Most of the pipe I use is white, that's all.
Yeah.
Well, now, this... If
he keeps
you in there tomorrow,
I'll show you
how to
now,
but
does that
it.
Come
yeah.
as a liquid?
It comes in a gel. You put a hardener in it, and it hardens and sticks, which seals the knife off. In fact, it's got to be a waterproof, because it absorbs water in the handle. It'll build up a bacteria count in it. Contingent juice of it and others, they say will get enough bacteria in oysters to run the bacteria count up extremely high. Now, whether it will or not, that's another gap. That's okay by the Department of Natural Resources.
How long have you been making them with the plastic handles like that?
About 6 years, 5-6 years.
What kind of handles did they have before that?
Wood.
Yeah.
You can hold it.
Yeah, you want me to haul that off there for you?
I'll show you.
Okay.
I can build them cheaper. Sometimes, though, there's a oyster bar in Tallahassee that use these knives. And about every 3 or 4 weeks, they'll come and get a dozen. I'm kind of looking for them this week.
Mm-hmm. What kind of a wood is that?
That's pine.
Yeah?
Ball pine.
Where do you get the wood?
Oh, mostly around a paper wood cut where the St. Joe paper mill has cut the timber out around it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh. You can't hardly just go on a man's land and cut his pine trees without getting into trouble. So I went to St. Joe and talked to the people in the main office there, and they told me just anywhere that they had cut, if they left anything standing there, to go ahead and cut it and use it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they come back there to replant, they'd knock everything down and square that all up, and that would all be gone. And some areas it looked to me like it would save them to to save it, because there'll be maybe 3 or 4 or 5 acres that'll just be covered with little pines and or one big one here in yonder. And why they don't save that, I don't know, but they don't. They put a bulldozer in there and just knock it down and chew it up and burn it or bury it or something other. And they use it a lot of places to just bury it, build the land up, keep the land from being so sour, you know what I mean? If it's low and wet, it's
right.
Sour.
Now, when you go looking for your wood for handles, what are you looking for when you're on the property
just,
there?
Just a small pine about the right size.
Mm-hmm. And these are what, about an inch and a quarter across?
Maybe? Well, I use some that's smaller than them, but that's about the largest. Now, that young fellow who's here just now, he wanted to. One even larger than that, but that's the size that most of them use.
Now, when an oysterman or a lady from the shucking houses comes to see you, how do they tell you what they want in a knife?
Here's the rule, I just got it built up and let them pick it since.
Okay. Do people sometimes call you up and say things to you about what they want to,
yes,
for you to make a new one? What kind of things would they want to be sure they had in the knife?
Well, sometimes it's the width, or sometimes it's the length, or sometimes it's the size of the handle. Now, I have 3 different sizes of that PVC.
Mm-hmm.
But this wood, I'd pick that in just about any size. But these are only for people that just want a knife to open on bag of oysters for their own use and put it away.
Yeah.
Personally, I believe that if the oyster shuckers would take the proper care of this knife, it would be just good as a PVC, but they just don't do it, and that's what the inspector run into when he was looking for that situation. He run into 3 or 4 of them laid up on the window that hadn't been dipped in water or anything, and possibly shut was in that same condition for 2 or 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
You could possibly take it like that and almost take your breath.
Because it would have the juice of the oyster and dirty water and such in there. Now, are all the blades the same shape?
Practically the same shape. I make them wider. Now, this particular knife, I make them as a usual rule wide and about the same length.
Because
most of the shuckers that will buy these knives and use them are not an experienced shucker. It'd be somebody that's going to buy a bag of oysters and shuck them and eat them themselves.
Mm-hmm. Now, why would the narrow one with these plastic handles be different? How are these any better? Or
you mean the wooden handle?
Yeah, the shape of the blade.
The bacteria and the wooden handle would be all.
Right. But the shape of the blade now, why is it that this is a better shape for someone who's experienced at shucking?
Well, they would know more how to get into the oyster without breaking it or bruising it up, you know.
And I see that this one has got a little kind of a curve at the top.
It had a little bit more than that in it when she started, but that lady, let me see if I got her name right here, Mrs. Freeman.
Yeah.
She's not hard on a knife at all. She'll shuck for months on one, where maybe the next shucker, like I told her there in that paper, only shuck for a week or two with one and come back and get a new one. Now that young fellow was in here just now, well, he seldom ever shucked one over a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
He's not supposed to use this wooden handle knife in that toil. Raw house, but he does do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether he has an old one of these others that he keeps around as he grabs when an inspector comes in.
Oh, yeah.
Or not.
Now, how many knives would a shucker want to keep with him that works in one of the row houses?
Well, most of the ones here on the point, most of them just have one knife at a time. Some of them buy 2 and have 2. Now, my daughter, she keeps 2 knives pretty near all the time. So does my granddaughter, but most of them just one night.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you find one once in a while have three or four. One maybe it's 4 or 5 years old along with it. But,
do shuckers ever change them in any way after they get them from you to suit their hand or to change the blade?
Well, they used to in the wooden handle, they'd possibly change them up some, but you can't do much changing with that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't move the blade. If you ever bump that blade, you could put it on something and take a hammer and drive it up. Now, they did that pretty bad in these. Some of them would get overnight and they wanted exactly the length they wanted, they'd drive it up till it suited them. But you can't move that. If you ever move that, then you burnt the knife.
Mm-hmm.
Also can't take that knife and do that exactly because that PVC pipe will bust.
Mm-hmm.
That was my biggest problem when I first started off with it, was breaking them from using it for a... I told them they're using it for a culling iron. Or just a,
yeah. Now I notice on your handle for your PVC that you've done something to it to make it not as slippery as the regular pipe.
Yes. Well, it's glazed over, and if you leave that glaze on there, it would be slippery, awful slippery. But I've got a knife that I just scrape that glaze off, and it usually leaves it in a bright condition. And,
mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
All right.
That's the three sizes of the handle.
Put that back on again there.
That's the half inch, that's the three quarter, and that's the inch size.
Mm-hmm. No.
Some of them oyster bars use that. I sell some of them.
Yeah, I've got it.
For that fella until I have to have it tell you about. I got to take that back to the shop. Get the rust off in the beginning. It's stuck too long.
Getting a little rusty there.
I can put a film of Vaseline on them and they won't rust, but I don't know. I just haven't been doing it on these.
Mm-hmm. How long does it take you to make a knife?
I'd make about 8 or 10 of them a day, but I have
really?
To build them in stages. See,
yeah.
I can. Oh, I'll first cut these blades of forward across the metal and work this part of it down before it goes in the handle. See, they go down in the handle about that far.
About halfway down the length
yes,
of the handle?
Yes, something around halfway. And it's set up in wood up to about like that. And there's about a half inch, maybe 5/8, just over how I get the plug set up in it. So, I don't do no measuring of any of it for now, I drive it up in the handle,
mm-hmm.
seal it off, and then I'll take it to the emery wheel and put the shape on the blade.
Mm-hmm. Now, is the blade, as it goes into the handle, is it tapered down at all?
Yes.
Yeah. What? How narrow would it be at the rear end?
Well, it'd come up down at the bottom here to a sharp peak.
Yeah.
And just gradually build out like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it gets wider as you go further up the handle towards the point.
Oh. Patent knives, that air that you drive into the wood in there is the same size from up here to down here. And if it once moves, that's the end of it being tight at the handle end. So.
Do you sharpen the butt end so it will go into the wood at all?
I grind it down to a sharp peak.
Yeah.
I had a pencil up.
Well, I got a pen right here.
I've got one in the roof out there in the shop, but I don't have anything ready down right now. I'm going to find one down. Just going to be real short.
Yeah.
Look at something similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
They possibly that much of it go down in the handle. You know, a half an inch to 5/8 long, that way just be sure to get enough of the polypropylene in there to hold the blade. That's my idea about it. So actually that's the main part of the blade that holds the knife in there.
Mm-hmm. When you put that into the handle, do you pour the polypropylene in after or
yes.
beforehand? Yeah.
I put it in the handle, drive it in the handle, and I make the polypropylene and I seal it off.
Mm-hmm.
And I grind the blade down to the shape I want it, and the last thing I do on it is that scraping on it.
Oh, yeah. How long does it take for the polypropylene to harden?
Oh, it says on the can two hours, but most of the time I seal it off like this afternoon and do the grinding on the same night the next day, unless, you know, I'm in a hurry for one or something or come up as I've got behind.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time I just let it set overnight and I'm sure it's all hard.
Yeah. With the wooden handles, do you put any kind of finish on the wood?
Nothing more than what you saw on that handle there. No.
Is that just the natural wood, or do you put a shellac or anything on it?
Nothing.
Yeah.
They tried. Some of them tried to put fiberglass over them.
Oh yeah.
But it was so slippery that it wouldn't work, and then you use the handle. Well, they use the hammer, some of them use the hammer instead of that machine.
Mm-hmm.
They grab that hammer right against the knife like that, and wear a groove in that handle halfway through it, before the wear. That's on the grandson.
Oh, yeah. Let's see now.
He goes to prep.
Well,
school,
kindergarten?
Kindergarten,
oh,
yeah.
Well, he's been fast asleep since we came there. He hasn't moved a bit.
And when he comes in, he eats and he tells Mom he's tired. He had a blanket down there. That's where he gets. He can get on the couch or in there. He can go in there and get to bed if he wants to. But he gets right down there. I noticed him, he'd put that blanket over the pillow, then he'd get the pillow out from under it, put it on the pillow, and lay that way directly. The boomer takes the blanket and throw it up in the chair and lay back down on his pillow and went to sleep. But he done more fixing there for about 15 minutes. I was watching a program here on television. And he's been asleep ever since then, let's see. He's been asleep 2 hours or better right now.
Do you ever make a knife that is just for healing?
Well, that's mostly what these are used for.
All the ones with the PVC handles? You
know? Well, some people could heal with that knife. I could.
Yeah.
But most of them want a wide knife. That young fellow was in here just now, he wanted a wide knife, but he didn't want the PVC handle on it.
Mm-hmm.
I let him have the wooden handle on that.
What is it about your knives that's better than what you might buy down at the hardware store, for example?
Well, I can make them any size they want them, the width and the length and so on. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Patent knives are mostly just one length and one width, and that's all you can get. You big ties have different ways of some of them want them. So, see, that one's got a turn up to the end. Most of the chuckers like that little tip.
Mm-hmm.
You put that little tip in that metal without weakening it, if you know how to hit it and knock it in there. I don't know. You may have heard of old times that used to saw a crosscut saw, and they were stump setted. They do what they call stump setted. They have a tool that drive up in a stump and one of them pulled a saw across there and the other one hit the teeth and knocked them open where the opening up it, making a wide enough gash that it wouldn't pinch.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's practically the same thing. I just got to place ground away on my anvil, laid up there, and I hit it right there and knocked that in it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I always check it to be sure it's not hitting the blade anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't make very many of them, but before I got where I don't have to check them now. I do it as a usual rule.
Mm-hmm.
I possibly broke a half a dozen in the first month or two, or maybe more, but I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Are there other little things that the shuckers like you to do besides putting a little tip on it?
Nothing more than the width or the length. Now, the wooden handle, when I used to make the wooden handle, some of them won't
let
that's fine.
Handle turned down at the back. This wooden off at the back right away. Once in a while, these here maybe want the blade set to the right or either to the left a little bit or up this way a little bit. Maybe down a little bit.
From the very center, you mean?
The very center.
So it'd be up or down or one side to the other side?
Huh. Not much, but a little bit.
Yeah.
There's a shucker every now and then. It likes that. They make a swipe at that horse the other way, and they want that blade turned that way just a tiny bit. I do that whenever I'm building a knife, especially for that particular customer.
Would you change that angle in with your grinder, or would it be how it was set into the handle?
Set in the handle. Uh-huh.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's what I was talking about the turn down. Now, that's my knife.
Mm-hmm.
I never learned to... Well, I could use a machine or the hammer, either one, but I've always shucked a healing them.
Yeah. Show me how you hold it.
Like that.
So it angles away so that that angled area fits right
now
in.
I go in from the hinge end of the oyster. I don't go in from the other end. From the hinge end of the oyster. Like I stick it under the hinge, just do a little flip.
Does anyone
else? Yeah. 3 or 4 months, 2 or 3 months. Four at the most would be about as long as a knife. Like that would last if I was shucking regular.
Mm-hmm.
Which I have in the row houses here and in the oyster bar.
Mm-hmm.
When I was at Spring Creek, I was on the oyster bar there.
Oh, yeah.
Almost every season.
Does anyone else ever ask for a handle that's shaped that way?
A few of them, yes, sir.
Yeah?
One that could use this wooden handle. There's a lady here that got the palm of her hand burnt.
Yeah.
And they put a grape in her hand, but it's too thick. There's just too much of it there.
Mm-hmm.
But she still works with that hand. And she got special permission to use that wooden handle. And I fixed her handle practically just like that one. Might bring it a little further up here, but she'd hold it like that in that there.
She holds it up near the base of her
finger, just
index finger and a middle finger, sort of up in there. Oh, yeah.
She uses a blade more like that one. Maybe a little wide, about like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether she's shucking right now or not. Seems like back about a month ago, her husband was here and got a knife, but I still don't know whether she's shucking or not.
How many shuckers do you supply with knives, would you say?
Any of them that won't send in this county. That would be impossible to tell.
Yeah.
At times, I have... There's not very many shuckers here, but what I have is a knife crunch. You go in the row houses, you'll see that PVC pipe all over the hood.
I have.
Yeah,
I have.
shucking house.
Do the shuckers come here individually to buy from you?
Yes, mostly.
Yeah.
I used to, when I was able to work at it and have my head, I'd get in the truck and maybe go to four or five of the little houses like the day and maybe tomorrow and the next day I'd take off to another group of them, and once or twice a month I'd visit all the little houses, but I haven't done it lately.
Mm-hmm.
Since the storm, the last few times I've gone around, they wouldn't anybody buy one, you know, when they just have to have one and get up the money and come here and get it, and that would be it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's how I've had to work it. Seldom the night when they got able to buy it.
Yeah.
That's why I had to have it.
Yeah. Now you mentioned some of the tools that you use. You mentioned your grinder and your vise. What other tools do you need to make these knives?
Well, a hammer. I use two hammers, actually. Oh, I use a light hammer for tapping that blade down in that wood in the handle, and a light machine hammer. Then I got about a 3/4-pound machine hammer that I use for breaking the metal. When I score it good and deep, I break it. And I cut it. I was showing you in the end of that knife there.
Mm-hmm.
I score that in it and break a little chip of that off. And I use that big hammer to do that, just tap that little chip.
Mm-hmm.
It saves a lot of grinding and a lot of rock, a lot of grinding rock. Now that pipe and polypropylene is almost triple price since I started building the knives, and I've always charged the same price for the knives up to the 1st of September. I went up a quarter on them 1st of September. It
mm-hmm.
looked like I had to make any profit at all.
What price do you charge for your knives?
I charge $4 for the regular shucking knife and $3 for the wooden knife.
Mm-hmm. Do the shucking houses ever buy knives from you to give to their shuckers?
Some of them do once in a while, yes. Now, Miss Brenda Colger, she did buy a lot of knives from us. She'd keep a half a dozen or a dozen of them on hand down there. But for the last 3 or 4 months, she hadn't bought any. And, let's see now. Benson, Willie Benson. Oh, he almost always buys a dozen or two around Christmas time and gives them to his shepherd.
Oh yeah, for a Christmas present. Oh, that's nice.
But you know, I haven't been in his house in the last 2 or 3 months. Not since they got into the new part of it anyway.
Oh yeah.
You know, the hurricane done a lot of damage there and he had to rebuild, and so when he built back, he just built possibly three times as large as it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's all right, it's all
right. Come here,
yeah.
Me alone. Come here, baby. Here's
was you
mom.
Dreaming? Huh? Go to mom.
Charlie Malou.
Go to mom.
Ricky.
I don't believe he's wide awake yet.
No.
Are you awake? I don't know what in the world makes that baby wake up scared, but he will.
Mm-hmm.
I've caught him 2 or 3 times here. He'd wake up there and start. He's all right when you get him awake, but he's awful scared when he wakes up. I don't know what caused it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's because he's mistreated anyway. But he can get just a little bit of tuning. His mother knocks off and takes him to the doctor right quick.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. How many knives did you tell me that you made every week?
I can make 8 or 10 a day, but I haven't been doing that here lately. Most of the time I get out and work an hour or two in the morning, 3, something like that. afternoon. I may go out there a couple of times, but it's usually most of the afternoon I hear where I'm at now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't used to do that, but I do now.
Mm-hmm. What do you like about making these knives?
I don't know. Just building knives is always fascinating to me, especially as a tool, not as a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
I never particularly cared for a knife as a weapon. I don't know. I just never was offensive, if you know.
Yeah.
Maybe that describes it to you.
Yeah. Have you ever?
I just always rather be friendly and not have any use for a weapon.
Yeah, well, I agree with you there. Have you ever made any other types of knives besides shucking knives?
Once in a while I build a cutting knife or some of them. But it's too tedious a job to build a cutting knife. If you once ever get the metal too hot, and not the temper out of it, and you have to bring it down so thin to make a good butcher knife or cutting knife. I make a paring knife once in a while, and a crab knife. And one foot thing would reach. Will that reach over there?
Well, we can just take it with us.
Just today, I hear it.
Okay.
Got about showing you these.
Oh, yeah.
I just got the approval of them a few days ago.
Now, what are these used for?
Picking crab meat out of crabs.
I see this one has got kind of a little notch on the back side. Is that the way you...
That's just to narrow it up where to go in this.
Mm-hmm.
Small area of the crab cells.
Is this other one used for picking crab too?
Same thing, yes. But just some of them like them one shape, some another.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I used to build a lot of crab knives.
Mm-hmm.
So I used a little orange pipe and I bent it down against the blade but couldn't seal that off.
Mm-hmm.
Waterproof, you know, mm-hmm. There could be some seepage there and they condemn their knives. Now they have to be non-porous handles and stainless steel blades.
Mm-hmm. So are these blades from the bandsaw too?
No, see, that's stainless steel.
Oh, I see.
Like that steak knife.
Oh yeah, this is like a blade from another knife that you've worked down. Okay. Are there many? Well, who uses the crab knives?
That's a row house that's running down here. Let's see if I can think of his name. Tucker.
Uh-huh.
Tucker Seaford. It's just a small place in there. And then David R. runs the row house down there where he's picking crabs too.
Mm.
I built them some just to... cut the blade down to the size they wanted, or about the size of these, and just ordinary kitchen steak knife that was made out of stainless steel.
Mm-hmm.
Trim the handle down to about the same length of this, where they were longer.
Mm-hmm.
But the handle on a steak knife, as a usual rule, was too small.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the pipe that I used was just a shadow larger than that.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't as large as that. Something about halfway in between the two handles.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a lot of them. They liked the knife. And I built the blade out of cross-cut saw.
Mm-hmm.
And it was much better metal than this stainless steel. So I could take half a dozen just ordinary steak knives, case knives, in a couple of hours, I can have half a dozen crab knives built up out of it, but I can't this type of knife.
Mm-hmm.
So I got first put this in the handle and seal it off.
Yeah.
But the way I do that now, I cut the handle here where it'd be about that much of it.
Mm-hmm.
and I put about two-thirds of the panel full of the polypropylene, and I just start pressing it down in there. And what, if it likes any of filling it up here, I pack it down in and seal it off.
Yeah.
That's a little slower than the,
right,
the other hand.
Yeah.
It doesn't take more than 10 to 15 minutes of grinding to build one on. Leave the handle, you know, the same thing it was to start with.
Mm-hmm. And with the shucking knives, do you grind the whole thing, the shape of the blade, all the way down, or do you have to cut it with some other tool to get it down?
Nothing more than I use a regular cutting blade to score that metal deep enough that I can break it. I use, do more breaking than I do grinding. All the breaking that I possibly do.
Hey, little Ricky, can I borrow your fishing poles?
Oh.
The poles out there?
Yeah. You know what a metal cutting blade is, don't you?
You mean like a hacksaw blade? Like
no, a round disc blade. They put in a machine and cuts that you cut metal with. You can put one on a skill saw if you want to.
Yeah.
Cut it. Well, I use it on a mandrel, and I can just bring this saw across by hand under that, like that, you know, piece of metal.
Yeah.
I've got it marked, of course, so I want to go and get the general shape of the blade that way.
Mm-hmm.
And when I figure it's deep enough to break, I haul up and hit it with that hammer.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And pop it off.
That's a good idea.
And when I get tired of working at it that way, I'll change around and get the rock and grind this bottom end of it down and, before I drive it into the wood in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well that's neat. I didn't even think to ask you about crab knives before. I just thought people bought them.
I built a few knives with shucky scallops.
Mm-hmm.
So, most of them would use a handle about the size of this, or either this one, small handle. The blade would be about that long. Taper around like that and come to a point. This side of it will be sharp though, possibly about that much of the other side of it, just come off to a point.
Mm-hmm.
And just put the scallops out like that.
Pretty neat.
Scallop, you'd pour cold water on them or put them on ice and they open up within the cells. All you have to do is just cut them out.
Mm-hmm. So you don't need a very
most
heavy
of the time, you leave them a sitting an hour or two, but they don't like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's just to pour cold water over them, give them cold when they start opening up.
Do they take many scallops out of the bay here?
Not any right in this bay, no,
yeah,
sir. They go to St. Joe Bay and Oklahoma. Not Oklahoma River, but the east end of St. Andrews Bay has got some scallops, especially around the Pays, that area. And then from Alligator Point down the other way, you're liable to find them anywhere in that, on some of the gray slats or something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they found some big beds up in the area a few years ago, off in the Gulf, off Apalachicola and off Fort St. Joe, and the Raphael brothers went in to them in a big way over there for, they even got a big shucking machine in there to shuck them.
Mm-hmm.
Use that machine to shuck them. So, they just played out. I imagine they'll come back. But I think the other thing that goes and done.
Yeah.
Scallop, you can see them swimming in the water. They'll get up and get gone from where they're at.
Huh.
And I mean, they move too. When they move, they start popping their hood just like that.
Huh.
You see him and then you don't see him.
Well, I've just about run out of questions to ask you about your oyster knives. Is there anything that you'd like to tell me that I've forgotten to ask you about them?
Not that. It was most of that, but not an awful long story.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's a very interesting one, and that the knives are very important to a lot of people around here. And it's interesting for me to learn about the different ways that you make them and the different shapes that people like and how they use them.
What we really need now is the oysters to come back.
That's right, yeah.
See, we've had an extremely dry season. Oysters live on brackish water, and it's always been my belief that they get their food substance from that water that comes from the river. My idea about it, when that river goes low and stays low some little bit, the oysters get poor and they don't grow, and they just don't grow at the normal rate that you should grow at. Let the river be up around, say, from 10 feet to 14, maybe run up once in a while to 16 feet, then drop back down to 12, play along the other way. First thing you know, the bay will be full of oysters.
Yeah. Well, I hope that comes to pass.
It possibly will. Maybe we'll have the rain back sometime. The northern part of the states above us where it'll build the rivers back.